Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news right now at noon, an appeals court rules on former President Trump's immunity claim, the decision, and what it means moving forward.
Happening right now in Chatham County, officials are executing a search warrant at a home WRAL first told you about last week. This is a live look at Sky 5 flying over the home. The new development surrounding this animal cruelty investigation.
A proposed 42% rate hike in homeowners insurance has been rejected. Coming up, what's next?
And if you've been outside, you know it is windy out there. The flags are flying, of course, here on the grounds here at the legislative building, and the camera is shaking. I'll show you how much wind we'll see this afternoon and the impact through the rest of the day.
Let's bring you inside our WRAL studio at noon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Let's get right to Michelle McConaughey in the WRAL Live Center, tracking the breaking developments surrounding an animal cruelty investigation in Chatham County. Michelle.
Yeah, this is a story that we've been following since last month. I want to bring you over Bear Creek in Chatham County. This is live video from Sky 5 right now. A woman was arrested and charged with animal cruelty after dozens of dogs were found on this property last month. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office is conducting another search warrant today. That is what you were looking at. On January 25th, multiple dogs were seized from that property. Alicia Dawn Culberson, she was arrested and charged. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office is working with two other animal organizations to remove additional dogs from this property. We are expecting more information on this investigation later on today. But again, they are conducting another search warrant on this property in Bear Creek in Chatham County. We'll follow the story and bring you any updates.
Thanks for that, Michelle. New in the last 2 hours, a federal appeals court has rejected former President Donald Trump's claim that he is immune from criminal charges.
This ruling is part of the election interference case, where Trump is facing charges for trying to overturn the 2020 election. WRAL's Noah Klein is here now with what the ruling means and what comes next in this case. Noah.
Renee, the former president's defense team here likely to immediately appeal this decision to the Supreme Court. This case essentially boils down to whether former President Donald Trump here is immune from prosecution for his actions after the 2020 election. On your screen right here, this is part of the 57-page ruling. Quote, for the purpose of this criminal case, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump with all of the defenses of any other criminal defendant. Trump's defense team had made the claim he's immune from prosecution. Special counsel Jack Smith's team argued there's no broad immunity which would prevent a former president from being prosecuted for any criminal acts while holding office. Trump had also argued that any prosecution is prohibited because he had not first been convicted in impeachment proceedings. And the justices were skeptical of that argument. Here's that moment from the courtroom.
Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? That's an official act in order to SEAL Team 6?
He would have to be and would speedily be, impeached and convicted before the criminal prosecution.
So that's part of the argument there from a few weeks back. This is the bigger picture here. Remember, this case is just one of four criminal prosecutions Trump faces right now, all while he still remains the presumptive frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination. Today's ruling also builds in an automatic delay of the original criminal trial if Trump files an appeal to the Supreme Court come Monday. The trial right now currently set to resume in March. Renee?
Noah Klein, thanks for that significant update.
There's movement today in the battle over home insurance in North Carolina. That 42% proposed increase in rates has been rejected by a state agency. WRAL Shelley Jackson is here to break it down for us. Shelley, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Jeff. The North Carolina Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey has rejected that 42% proposed rate hike for homeowners insurance. He says his office received more than 25,000 emails, letters, and phone calls about this proposed rate hike. 42% is pretty high there. Now, it's a standard for the insurance industry to propose rate hikes every few years, but this year's proposed hike was extremely high. In some parts of the state, those rates would double. Insurance companies are facing more claims due to climate change, and they are being squeezed by inflation. Construction materials simply cost more now. I talked to WRAL state government reporter Will Doran about what's next.
In the past, the insurance companies will come in, they'll ask for a raise and it'll get rejected, and then they'll kind of meet in the middle. It's sort of this game of cat and mouse almost. And Kazi today said, you know, I don't know if this is going to be that normal kind of thing where we just settle for something lower.
And now a court date has been set for October 7th, but if both sides could come to an agreement, some resolution could be reached before then. Jeff?
Shelley Jackson, live for us this noon. Shelley, thank you.
Plenty of sunshine out there, but it is breezy, which is making it feel on the chilly side. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREO Severe Weather Center with a look at why fire danger is a concern.
This is a great place to, you know, get a real sense of the wind in our area. This is a live look at Wilson, the Whirligig Park here, and you can see all those whirligigs really spinning fast out there this afternoon. We have winds out of the northeast at 15 miles per hour, and it's a chilly 47 degrees, even with all that sunshine. We take a look at our wind speeds and gusts. The gusts are on the right side, and the wind speed is on the left side. Our wind is coming out of the north northeast steady at 15 in Durham and Raleigh, 15 in Fayetteville, 16 in Rocky Mount, and 24 in Goldsboro. We're gusting to 31 in Fayetteville right now, 29 in Rocky Mount, and 26 in the Triangle. So it's really getting blustery out there for us this afternoon. We'll continue to see gusts up to around 30 miles per hour until around sunset. So we do have high fire danger for our southern counties, but with this sort of wind and the dry air in place, if any fires begin, they could be really moving fast across our area. So outdoor burning is discouraged really no matter where you are. Not only is it chilly and windy, but we have a little bit of a wind chill to deal with. Nothing dangerous. It's more of just sort of a gee whiz. It's 47 in Durham and Raleigh, but it feels like 41. It feels like 35 in Roxborough and 39 in South Hill. It feels like 41 in Southern Pine. So it is chilly out there this afternoon. And we have a wind chill forecast of just mid-40s for the rest of the afternoon. We also have some cold mornings ahead. Our normal low is 33, and we're into the upper 20s for Wednesday and Thursday morning. After that, we see a big warm-up over the weekend. We also have some showers that will go along with it. We'll take a closer look at when you can expect the rain coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Raleigh City Council may vote today on restoring city support of the Citizen Advisory Council. The City Council voted to disband that group in 2020. The neighborhood group existed for decades to get more people involved in the city's future. Raleigh Citizen Advisory Council says it is confident at least five council members will vote to restore its support at today's meeting. That gets started at 1 o'clock this afternoon. More affordable housing units will be coming to downtown Raleigh soon. City Council leaders are expected to approve a $700,000 grant during today's meeting. The units will honor the Idlewild community, which is the first location in Raleigh where formerly enslaved people were allowed to own homes. North Carolina Central's head basketball coach Lavelle Moten will be there in attendance at the meeting. His company, Raleigh Raised, partnered with Raleigh Area Land Trust to help develop that area. That meeting also starts at 1 this afternoon.
Enrollment caps are meant to help with overcrowding, but now Wake County school leaders think they can do away with some of them. WRL's Laura Levine explains how this would make it easier for families.
Apex Elementary School is one of several schools that have faced overcrowding issues, and now today it is among three that will be considered for cap removal. So what this means is that families moving into nearby neighborhoods will have the opportunity to enroll their children into these schools. Let's give you a better look at where these schools are located. The school board today will vote on also removing enrollment caps for Highcroft Drive Elementary and Mills Park Elementary Schools in Cary. This comes as charter schools and private schools have opened in the area. The school system has more slowly opened new buildings, though it plans to open six more in Western Wake County during the next school year. They will also consider changing the overflow school for two other capped schools. Changing the overflow school for Parkside Elementary from Adams Elementary to Carpenter Elementary, and changing the overflow school for Panther Creek High from Green Level High to Green Hope High. Both of the new overflow schools are closer to the cap schools. So today there's going to be two meetings. The board will meet for a work session at 2:30, and then they're going to have that regular meeting at 5:30 p.m. when we'll learn more. Laura Levine, WREL News in Apex.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with the Egyptian president, hoping to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Today's meeting with Egypt's president comes as the Israel-Hamas conflict still rages on. Tensions between Egypt and Israel are growing as fighting in Gaza could expand close to the Egyptian border. Egypt is warning an Israeli offensive that close could potentially threaten an existing peace treaty with Israel. Blinken is using key Middle East players in an effort to negotiate peace. He also met with Saudi Arabia's crown prince Monday.
The White House says President Biden would veto a standalone aid package for Israel proposed by the House. This comes as a Senate border deal that would include aid to U.S. allies now appears on shaky ground on Capitol Hill. In a statement, the White House says, quote, the administration spent months working with a bipartisan group of senators to reach a national security agreement that secures the border and provides support for the people of Ukraine and Israel. The standalone bill was floated by House Speaker Mike Johnson last week. Johnson responded to the White House, calling the veto threat a betrayal of our great ally and friend Israel in their time of desperate need.
Stocks are inching up this noon, and Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 50 points. But next, we talk about the deadly and historic storm in California that continues to wreak havoc. It is on the move, though. The other states now in danger's way.
Also, protesting humanitarian aid entering Gaza. What people at the border crossing in Israel hope to gain by blocking that essential help.
Plus, grab your red Solo cup for one last toast, a tribute to Toby Keith after he died of stomach cancer at age 62.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Today, dozens of protesters near a main goods crossing between Israel and Gaza are attempting to block the delivery of humanitarian aid. They are upset that aid is being sent in while Hamas is still holding hostages in Gaza. Protesters think the aid could act as leverage to force the release of the remaining hostages. The amount of aid delivered to Gaza has been a fraction of what went into the territory before the war. The Israeli military has previously sealed off that area to prevent recurring protests, but people have been gathering near the crossing for several days.
Protesters calling for a ceasefire in Gaza made their voices heard at Durham City Council's meeting. They stood up at Monday night's meeting singing, "We Breathe Together, Stop the Occupation." They held roses to remember the children killed in the Israel-Hamas conflict, along with holding up signs and flags. Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams paused the meeting and officers entered the chambers. But no one was forced out. City Council has a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza on the table. Members will review it at a meeting Thursday night.
Country music world has suffered a great loss. Singer Toby Keith passed away at age 62 after battling stomach cancer. Ann Thompson gives us a look back at the beloved music legend's career.
This morning, the country music world mourning one of its brightest stars.
I ain't as good as I once was.
Toby Keith passing away Monday night at the age of 62 after a battle with stomach cancer. A statement posted on his Instagram page saying the singer fought his fight with grace and courage.
I should have been a cowboy.
Keith, a former oil derrick worker from Oklahoma, first topped the country charts in the 1990s with hits like Should Have Been a Cowboy and How Do You Like Me Now?
How do you like me now?
Later, he got the world's attention with his smash, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
I brought to you courtesy. Color red, white, and blue.
Keith telling Today in 2019 about the impact of performing his patriotic songs on USO tours.
Every one of them is important and made so many friends.
And he continued with hit after hit, getting a new audience with Red Solo Cup in 2011.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up, let's have a party.
And performing at former President Trump's inauguration. An unstoppable force in country music, Keith has over 5,000 songs in his catalog, 42 top 10 country hits, and has sold more than 40 million albums. He stopped by today.
Made in America.
Speaking about the legacy he wants in 2010.
The longevity is the last goal I have, just staying around. I really admire Willie and Merle and those guys who have been around for four or five decades.
In the summer of 2022, Keith shocked many fans by revealing his stomach cancer diagnosis, writing, "I've spent the last 6 months receiving chemo, radiation, and surgery. So far, so good. Speaking out about his battle as recently as this year.
This is a roller coaster, and it takes a little while to get your brain wrapped around it. You can't let it define, you know, your future.
But he continued to perform, including at the People's Choice Awards, where he was honored in September.
Don't let the old man in.
And accepted the Country Icon Award to a standing ovation.
As Ann Thompson reporting, he leaves behind his wife, Tricia, and three children.
Mudslides and floods continue to torment the western U.S. today. A historic and deadly atmospheric river is stretching east while still plaguing California. Some areas around L.A. report almost a foot of rain falling in 3 days. Officials are telling people not to drive through floodwaters. In some parts of Southern California, evacuation orders are in place. And in addition to California, Nevada and Arizona could see some flooding today. Winter weather is also a concern in those states, in New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Idaho, and Wyoming. And Elizabeth Gardner is tracking that system that is pummeling California and those western states right now. And Elizabeth, that's just an area that is not used to that much rain. It's getting half a year's worth of rain in a matter of days.
This El Nino pattern really can mess things up for parts of the country, including the West Coast. Typically, we'll have these atmospheric rivers of moisture come onshore much farther north than, say, Washington or Oregon. And if you think about those states, you think about lush green, rain, rainforests, that sort of thing. So that's where this moisture usually goes. Southern California is a much more arid landscape, and so you add that kind of rainfall to it, and it's very destructive. So we continue to see it. This should be the last day that we see the rainfall. We're definitely seeing heavy rain up in the mountains, of reports of 3 feet of snow up around Lake Tahoe, and of course this system is starting to push eastward across parts of Arizona and New Mexico right now. In the last 5 days, we've seen as much as 3 to 5 inches of rainfall widespread across the Los Angeles area, but there have been some pockets of 11 inches and 12 inches of rain. And most likely today, they're going to add another 1 to 3 inches to that. So still some scattered flooding around Los Angeles. And some of that then stretches over into Arizona as far east as Phoenix. And you don't usually think about flooding there. But again, a little bit of rainfall in Arizona is going to cause some pretty severe flooding because of the arid landscape. Here's a look at where that system is now. The low is starting to push on into Nevada and Arizona, where the cold front is. It will move across Colorado and parts of the West with a lot of snow, and it will arrive here in time for the weekend to bring us some rain, but not anything as heavy as what they're going to see out west. So our next best chance of rain starts on Friday. This is going to be Friday afternoon with a small chance of a shower. It'll cloud up on Friday. On Saturday, we could see some late day showers, especially from the Triangle area northward. And then on Sunday, it's likely to be fairly wet, especially in the morning. There's 7 a.m. We start to see that rain sliding southward during the evening, but it's likely to pick up and move northward again on Monday, and Monday could bring us the heaviest rainfall. We could definitely use some rain. It feels like we played catch up and had lots of rain. We finally erased our drought from the map just a couple of weeks ago. But in the meantime, we've dried out a good bit, especially in our eastern counties. We're only looking at about 50 to 60% of our normal rainfall now in the last 30 days there. Plenty of rainfall in the western part of North Carolina, which is really where the drought was most severe. So what will we see out of this? Between now and Sunday, we'll likely see somewhere between a half an inch and three quarters of an inch. It may be a little bit more as we get into Monday if that system plays out the way the models are showing. We could have maybe another half an inch to an inch on Monday, but none of that's likely to cause us any flooding. We take a look at today, and today it's all about the chill, the breeze, the fire danger. Lots of sunshine in Goldsboro and Fayetteville, Apex and Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We take a look at our chilly temperatures, looking at just 53 for today and 55 for tomorrow, and then this big warm-up, 72 degrees by Saturday. We're going to talk a little bit more about the windy conditions and when those should ease up and eliminate our fire danger coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. North Carolina's insurance commissioner is saying no to a 40% homeowners insurance rate hike. Now the case heads to court. What's up ahead in the battle against higher rates at 5?
Also, 4 years after council members disbanded citizen advisory committees, people in Raleigh are seeing a path forward to making sure their voices are heard. The push to restore those committees at 6 o'clock tonight. Plus, still ahead this noon, the U.S. will get a bigger supply of a couple of popular weight loss drugs.
Plus, we'll share how AMC Theaters is celebrating Black History Month with some fan favorite films.
Welcome back. Such beautiful blue skies out there and plenty of sunshine, but we're staying on the chilly side. You're looking live at Fenton and Cary, and you're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum in the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. More news to tell you about. AMC is celebrating Black History Month with a ticket promotion. And the date is set for the legal showdown between Google and the Justice Department. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
It's going to be a September showdown for Google and the U.S. government. That's when the Justice Department's antitrust lawsuit against the tech giant will go to trial. A federal judge set September 9th as the start date for the legal battle. The lawsuit targets Google's advertising business. Those ads pulled in about $66 billion in revenue last quarter for the parent company Alphabet. The government alleges Google bought rivals through anti-competitive mergers and bullied publishers and advertisers into using its products. Mortgage rates climbed back over 7% yesterday. The average rate on a 30-year fixed loan hit 7.04%. That's according to Mortgage News Daily. It's the first time since December that rates are at 7% and follows a sharp spike on Friday. This recent rise comes after last week's stronger-than-expected jobs report. And yesterday, a report on manufacturing was better than forecast. The strength in the economy has many on Wall Street now believing the Fed won't cut interest rates as soon as expected. AMC is offering $5 tickets for some select movies to celebrate Black History Month. The low-cost tickets will be for one movie each week in February. The films selected are from Black film producers and actors. First up this week is The Equalizer 3, starring Denzel Washington and directed by Antoine Fuqua. Other $5 movies in February include The Color Purple, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Soul. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Snapchat's parent company is laying off 10% of its worldwide workforce. Snap says the job cuts will affect about 500 employees. The company says the reorganization is aimed at reducing what it calls hierarchy. Snap also hopes the move will promote in-person collaboration. Social media company is the latest to cut jobs in technology.
More of the popular weight loss drug Wegovy is on the way. Novo Holdings is buying the drug manufacturing firm Catalent for $16.5 billion. Three of those plants will then be utilized to boost production of Wegovy and Ozempic. Demand for those two drugs, along with similar ones, has soared, and drug makers have not been able to keep up with that demand.
There's a new strategy to help students dealing with financial aid stress. The Department of Education announced a new FAFSA College Support Strategy. It'll provide additional support and resources to help students complete the FAFSA form and prepare colleges to process student data faster as well. The plan also includes $50 million in funding to educational nonprofits. This comes after a rocky rollout of a simplified FAFSA form, delays, and processing errors.
The FAA is facing questions from lawmakers about how to keep people safe when they fly. The new developments next at 12:30.
More fencing like this will be added to parks across Durham because of high lead levels. Coming up, what you should do if you think your child has been exposed.
And here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers.
And tapping right now in the WREL Live Center, an update to a story we've been following out of Chatham County since last month. A woman was arrested and charged with animal cruelty after dozens of dogs were found on her property, this Bear Creek property, last month. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office is conducting another search warrant today. This is video from Sky 5 from earlier this morning. Back on January 25th, multiple dogs were seized from this property. Alicia Dawn Culberson was arrested. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office is working with two other organizations to remove additional dogs from the property. And we have learned that there will be a press conference happening today at 2 o'clock, where we will learn more information.
Michelle, thanks. More park space in Durham will be fenced off because of high lead levels.
This all comes because of new guidance from the Environmental Protection Agency. And WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains this has been an issue for months in several parks in Durham.
You may have noticed orange fencing like this at different parks in Durham, and more will be added soon. So this is East Durham Park. It's one of five parks that's had lead issues that we've been telling you about for months. Take a look at the fencing that's already up at Walltown Park. Documents show additional fencing will be added to 35 acres across five parks in Durham: Lyon, East End, Walltown, East Durham, and Northgate. This fencing has to be added because of new regulations from the Environmental Protection Agency. The lead was there before, but the updated guidance requires more fencing. It's still not clear how the city will address the problem. It's difficult to detect lead exposure. Parents, your children may not show any symptoms if they've been exposed. If you're concerned about this, then you need to make sure that your child has a blood test. The CDC has a full list of guidelines for what you should do if lead is found in your child's blood. And you can find that list on our website, WREL.com. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Durham.
A wolf alert has been issued by NC State University. Campus police are reporting several thefts on campus. Bicycles and catalytic converters from vehicles parked on campus over the weekend. Right now, police are going through surveillance video to identify the person or persons responsible. Police are encouraging students to lock their vehicles and secure any valuables and to be mindful of their surroundings.
All Durham public schools are open and classes are back on schedule. This after days of disruptions because of ongoing pay issues. The Durham Association of Educators organized this rally yesterday. Staff and parents picketed the downtown building. Many told WRL the two staff recommended salary options the board considered last Friday did not meet their demands. They are glad the board decided to vote on the issue this Thursday instead. We spoke with a teacher who's also a parent, and she said this has been a learning experience for her family.
That I understand that having this day off is very hard for all families, all working families, but it's really important for us to be supportive of our school's classified staff. There's just so many people that are being affected.
The school board is also planning to hold a special meeting tomorrow to discuss personnel matters. We're working to learn what the specific topic of the meeting will be.
The first report on the Alaska Airlines plane that had its door blowout comes out today. And Rebecca Castor reports this comes just as the head of the Federal Aviation Administration is taking tough questions on Capitol Hill.
From a door panel flying off mid-flight to loose bolts on planes, recently it's been anything but smooth sailing for the airline industry.
We just need to assure the American public that flying is safe.
Lawmakers hope to do that by questioning the head of the FAA and ensuring Boeing will be held accountable for its mechanical failures.
Going forward, we will have more boots on the ground, closely scrutinizing and monitoring production and manufacturing activities.
The planes having issues are Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets. They're used by Alaska and United Airlines in the U.S. The FAA temporarily grounded the planes after the door blowout incident, but after inspections, most of the jets are back in service.
Since they're not keeping you safe, you need to not get on the planes.
That's the warning from Nadia Milleron, who lost her daughter in a 2019 Boeing 737 MAX 8 plane crash. She blames Boeing's rush to put out planes for her daughter's death.
These planes should be grounded right now by the FAA.
Boeing employees are encouraged to use our FAA hotline to report any safety concerns.
Lawmakers are also concerned about the ongoing pilot shortage and want to raise the mandatory retirement age from 65 to 67. But the FAA administrator cautions additional research needs to be done.
Now more than ever, American aviation and FAA need some bold direction from Congress.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. And just this week, Boeing discovered another problem, this time with holes that were drilled incorrectly on 737 MAX jets waiting to be delivered to airlines. The issue is not a safety issue, and it doesn't affect planes that are currently flying. Super Bowl spending could hit a new record. How much it'll likely cost to host a party, and what's driving up those prices?
Plus, right on the side of a busy highway, an officer's dash cam shows how he was able to save that woman from choking. Thanks for watching WREL. Remember, you can watch WREL News live anytime on WREL.com or the WREL app on your streaming device.
If you're hosting a Super Bowl party this year, you can expect to spend a little more than last year.
That's because the price of groceries is slightly higher. Jen Sullivan breaks down this year's costs.
It's often the most watched TV event every year in the U.S., the Super Bowl. Roughly 112 million people across the country plan to throw or attend a Super Bowl party this weekend, and more than 16 million plan to watch at a bar or restaurant, according to the National Retail Federation. And with Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers being hosted in Las Vegas, you can expect big crowds and high prices in Sin City.
It's a big weekend in Las Vegas.
If you want to travel to Vegas just to watch the game at a bar or casino, here's what you can expect to pay. The average price for a hotel room this upcoming weekend is $391 per night, according to travel platform Hopper. Compare that to this past weekend, prices were $161 a night.
I don't think we're going to be able to score some great Super Bowl deals.
It will be much cheaper to watch from your couch. The National Retail Federation says total Super Bowl spending for food, drinks, apparel, and decorations are expected to reach a record $17.3 billion. That averages out to $86.04 per person.
A Super Bowl party at home is going to be the best way to get the bang for your buck.
Shoppers are still paying more for food. According to a Super Bowl food spending report by Wells Fargo, ground beef prices are up nearly 12% compared to a year ago. But the price of fresh chicken wings is cheaper, averaging $3.26 a pound. Here's a savings tip. That same report suggests canned soft drinks will cost more than bottled ones. That's partly because the cost of aluminum is higher.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. Why is it always on Sunday? Why is it never on Saturday?
The couch thing, right? Sounds like the ticket.
Come on. Needs to be on Saturday. If you're looking to buy a last-minute Super Bowl ticket, you may want to hurry.
Yeah, ticket prices are going down, but not by much. The cheapest ticket, $7,231. You have to sleep in your car, but it is under last week's price tag of $8,200. The average ticket price still remains the most expensive in Super Bowl history. The average. More than $9,800. A report shows that more 49ers fans are expected to be at the game in Las Vegas than Chiefs fans.
Still ahead, a doctor explains why there are more cases of lung cancer being reported in women and what can be done to help with prevention.
Plus, Prince Harry is going home to see his father following King Charles' cancer diagnosis. What we are learning about his trip back to the UK coming up. Welcome back this noon. King Charles III will stay out of the public eye as he faces a cancer diagnosis. The palace still has not revealed what type of cancer King Charles is coping with, only reporting it. The king is receiving treatment at home. The diagnosis comes just a week after the 75-year-old monarch was released from a London hospital after a routine prostate procedure. The palace says the cancer was a separate issue of concern. The king does not have prostate cancer. Prince Harry is planning to visit his father, King Charles, in the coming days following the king's cancer diagnosis. And a spokesperson for the Duke of Sussex says he will travel to the United Kingdom after speaking with his father. Buckingham Palace confirms the king called Harry himself to tell him about the cancer diagnosis. Prince Harry's wife, Duchess Meghan Markle, will remain in the U.S. with their two children.
New research now shows more cases of lung cancer are being reported among younger and middle-aged women. Doctors recommend people ages 50 to 80 years old get screened, especially if they have a history of smoking. Dr. Humberto Choi with the Cleveland Clinic says while it's unclear why cases among women are higher, overall cases are declining.
Over the last decades, the incidence of lung cancer actually has been declining. But looking, especially over the last 20 years, lung cancer has been declining a little faster among men compared to women. So that's why we are seeing, especially in certain age groups, that the incidence of lung cancer among women is actually higher compared to men.
Dr. Choi also encourages smokers to quit because it's the biggest risk factor for developing lung cancer.
The American Red Cross is offering an incentive to people who donate blood during a nationwide shortage. People who donate blood anytime through the month of February will receive a $20 Amazon gift card. Anyone who chooses to do a platelet or AB elite plasma donation will also be eligible to receive the gift card. The organization named a handful of local counties where blood supply is critically low. That includes Wake, Durham, Alamance, Chatham, Lee, Moore, Orange, Person, Vance, and Warren counties.
Some of the biggest names in women's tennis are in Abu Dhabi for the Abu Dhabi Open. One of those big names is former world number one Naomi Osaka, who returned to the court last month after giving birth to her first child. Ahead of the tournament, she spoke to CNN about her return not only as a player, but as a mom.
It's a weird thing. Like, you look down at your little baby's face and, you know, there's so much joy in it. But it would impact my game because I'm a lot more serious now, and hopefully that's not a bad thing. But just knowing that time is precious and trying not to waste time on the practice court, waste time in the gym, and be as efficient as I can.
It's a joy that overtakes your heart. Osaka had her baby girl, Shay, with rapper Cordae, who is from Raleigh. Osaka finished her singles match against U.S. player Danielle Collins this morning, and Collins won the match.
Good to see her back on the court right now, and her heart is full. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRS Severe Weather Center right now. I don't know about a day for outdoor activities sports-wise. You better keep it brisk today, right?
Yeah, you just want to keep that jacket on if you're going to be out and about today. We take a live look at Roxborough. It looks absolutely beautiful. The sky color is just phenomenal out there. We have a very dry air mass, and when our air is dry, we tend to see that beautiful deep blue color. You can see the flag here flying in front of the courthouse in Roxborough, and it is moving around. Of course, we're looking at some gusty winds currently. 47 is our temperature in the triangle. We're looking at temperatures climbing into the low and mid 50s across our area today. We take a look at the temperature and the wind chill together. The temperature is on the left and the wind chill is on the right. It does feel like 36 in Roxborough. It feels like 41 in Southern Pines. It feels like 44 in Clinton, 42 in Rocky Mountain, and 41 in Raleigh. So we're looking at a maybe 5-degree difference in some places from the actual temperature and the wind chill. It's pretty blustery out there. The wind gusts are on the right side. So we're gusting to 31 in Fayetteville and 29 in Rocky Mount, gusting to 28 in Clinton, and 26 in Goldsboro, Durham, and Raleigh, 18 in Roxborough. So it is definitely a blustery day. Our wind is coming out of the northeast. So when we have breezy conditions with dry air combined, we tend to have high fire danger, and that's exactly what we're seeing. The best thing that you can do is just put off outdoor burning maybe for a couple more days. The three counties that are highlighted for fire danger are our three southern counties here. But again, I wouldn't really attempt it anywhere today just because any fires that start could spread very quickly. Let's talk about why we're seeing the windy conditions. We have this low pressure system that's spinning counterclockwise off the coast, and we also have a high that's sitting back to our west, and the air is getting funneled between the two. Of course, that counterclockwise flow from the low and then that clockwise flow from the high are working together to push that cool air across North Carolina. And because they're close together, the winds are stronger. It's sort of like when you put two magnets together. The closer the magnets get, the stronger the pull. We have the same sort of effect here with these two systems. Now, the low will continue to track off the coast, and our wind will start to relax a little bit for tomorrow. Our temperatures won't be that much warmer tomorrow, but we start to see a completely different weather pattern. That high that I showed you that's back to our west moves in and switches our wind direction and warms us up dramatically for the weekend. 53 in Raleigh today, 51 in Durham, and 55 in Fayetteville for our afternoon highs. That wind direction continues all day and into tomorrow to come right out of the north, and that will keep our temperatures near normal. 54 is our normal high, so 53 today, 55 tomorrow. The high pressure system moves in and starts that switch. So we jump to 60 on Thursday, 64 on Friday, and 72 on Saturday. That may look absolutely lovely, but of course, once we get to Friday, we start to move into a wetter pattern. It is not going to pour all day Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, but we'll have to be dodging showers. And of course, we'll be watching the development of that system. These very warm temperatures that we'll see toward the weekend are more normal for much farther into the spring. 72 is our normal high, April 15th. But it is pretty normal for us to see some ups and downs this time of year. 33 is our normal low. The next couple of mornings are going to be below freezing in the upper 20s, so be prepared for that. Our precipitation chances start to go up Friday and Saturday, maybe highest on Monday when that next system moves through. Once we change over to a wetter pattern, we see overnight lows in the 50s, so this does not look like it'll be a wintry weather situation for us.
Good to know, Elizabeth. Thank you. Some folks driving around Texas at the right time might just run into Batman. Up next, the Cape Crusader explains why he is not looking for evil. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office returned to a Bear Creek home today to look into more problems surrounding animal cruelty just days after a woman was charged. WRL Sky 5 was over the scene as crews executed a search warrant. We saw several more animals taken out of the area.
A federal appeals court has rejected former President Donald Trump's claim he is immune from criminal charges. This ruling is part of the election interference case where Trump is facing charges for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Today's ruling builds an automatic delay of the original criminal trial if Trump files an appeal to the Supreme Court by Monday. The trial is currently set to resume in March.
There was some new movement this morning in the battle over home insurance in North Carolina. That 42% proposed increase in rates has been rejected by a state agency. North Carolina's insurance commissioner has rejected the proposed rate hike. A court date is set for October 7th. The issue could be resolved before then, but that hinges on the commissioner and the insurance industry reaching a compromise.
Batman is starting to circle the streets of Waco, Texas, all in the name of a good cause. From time to time, you'll find him riding his motorcycle, not looking for evil, instead looking for homeless people to give care packages to. These backpacks are filled with hygiene items, snacks, and warm winter clothing, all donated by Good Samaritans in the community. There's a hidden meaning behind his hidden identity.
I want people to understand it's not about me, it's not about a person, it's about an idea. I think if we could just reach out and make a difference in one person,